Beyond the ageless woods, in a fortress as tall as a mountain, sleeps a lord of darkness, a master of evil dreams, who can only be slain by one magical sword. Soon, the quest for this sword will become the test of a hero and the fabric of a legend. Fortress of Doom, on this installment of Tales by the Masters. Fortress of Doom by Lord Dunsany, performed by Winifred Phillips.
In a wood older than Rekkard, a foster brother of the hills, stood the village of Alethurion. And there was peace between the people of that village and all the folk who walked in the dark ways of the wood. Whether they were human, or of the tribes of the beasts, or of the race of the fairies and the elves, and the little secret spirits of trees and streams. Moreover, the village people had peace among themselves, and between them and their lord, Lorendiac. Now in the time I tell of, there was trouble in the village of Alethurion. For of an evening, dark dreams were wont to come slipping through the tree trunks and into the peaceful village. And they assumed dominion of the minds of the good people and led them in watches of the night through terrible nightmare realms of wickedness and despair. Then the magician of that village made spells against those dark, evil dreams. Yet still, the dreams came flitting through the trees as soon as the dark had fallen, and led people's minds by night into terrible places, and caused them to speak wickedness openly. And the people grew afraid of sleep in the village of Alethurion, and they grew worn and pale, some through the want of rest, and others from fear of the things they saw in their dreams. Then the magician of the village knew that the dreams were from Lord Gaznak the Sorcerer, Master of Nightmares, Lord of the Fortress of Doom. Therefore he gathered the people of the village and told them that the dreams had come from the Sorcerer Gaznak, the greatest sorcerer among the spaces of the stars. And the village magician read to the people out of the Book of Magicians, which tells the coming of the great comet, and foretells its coming again. And he told them how the sorcerer Gaznak, Lord of Nightmares, rides upon the comet, and how he visits Earth once in every 230 years, and makes for himself a vast, invincible fortress of doom. and sends out dreams to feed on the minds of humanity, and may never be vanquished but by the sword whose name is Sacnoth. And a cold fear fell on the hearts of the villagers when they found that their magician could not save them. Then spake young Leothric, son of the Lord Lorendiac. And 20 years old was he when he asked the good master if that legendary sword Sacnoth might not aid them in ridding their village of the blight. But the village magician answered that no such sword had yet been wrought, for it was mere prophecy that the sword Sacnoth should one day exist. As for now, the metal that would one day be the sword of prophecy was still as yet a part of a dragon's impenetrable hide. And that dragon, whose name was Thedagavruk, depended upon it to protect his spine. Young Leothric asked questions as to the nature of the dragon, and was told that the dragon haunted the northern marshes. And such was the enchantment that gave birth to him, that his whole body was composed not of flesh and bone, but of solid metals. And the hide of his back was of steel, and his underparts were of iron. But along the midst of his back, over his spine, there lay a narrow strip of unearthly steel. This strip of steel was that which could be fashioned into the sword Sacnoth. And it was so strong that it could be neither shattered nor molten, and there was nothing in the world that might avail to break it, nor even leave a scratch upon its surface. It was of the length of a good sword, and of the breadth thereof. Shouldst young Leothric prevail against the dragon Thedagavruk, his hide might be melted away in a furnace, and the unearthly metal strip that would be the sword Sacnoth would be revealed thereby. But there was only one thing that might sharpen the sword Sacnoth's edge, and this was one of the dragon Thedagavruk's own steel eyes. And the other eye young Leothric must fasten to the sword Sacnoth's hilt, just above where his hand would hold fast to the weapon. And the steel eye would keep watch for him. But the village magician warned that it was a hard task to vanquish the dragon Thedagavruk, for no sword could pierce his hide, his back could not be broken, and he could not be burned or drowned. In one way only could the dragon Thedagavruk die, and that was by starving. Then sorrow fell upon young Leothric, for he greatly wished to save his village from the evil dreams of Lord Gaznak the Terrible, master of nightmares. But the only sword that could defeat him was a part of a dragon's hide, and seemed impossible to obtain. But the village magician spoke on, saying that if a warrior were to drive the metal dragon Thedagavruk away from his food with a stick for 3 days, he would starve on the third day at sunset. And though he was not vulnerable, yet in one spot he might take hurt, for his nose was only of lead. If his nose be smitten constantly with a stick, he would always recoil from the pain, and thus might the dragon Thedagavruk, to left and right, be driven away from his food, which was the flesh of men. So young Leothric went straightway thence, and cut a great staff from a hazel tree, and set out through the forest northwards toward the marshes. For some hours he moved through the gloom of the forest, And when he emerged from it, the sun was above the horizon, shining on pools of water in the wasteland. He saw the claw marks of the dragon Taragalfrog deep in the soil, and the track of his tail between them, like a furrow in a field. Then young Leothric followed the tracks, till he heard the bronze heart of the dragon Taragalfrog before him, booming like a bell. And Taragalfrog the dragon, it being the hour when he took the first meal of the day, was moving towards the village with his heart tolling. And when young Leothric came near, the dragon Taragalfrog saw him out of one of his small steel eyes and came towards him leisurely. And the echoes of his heart swirled up through his open mouth. And young Leothric stepped sideways from his onset and came between him and the village and smote him on the nose. And the blow of the stick made a dint in the soft lead. And the dragon Taragalfrog swung clumsily away, uttering one fearful cry, like the sound of a great church bell. Then he attacked young Leothric, snarling, and again the young warrior leapt aside and smote him on the nose with his stick. The dragon sounded like a bell howling, and whenever the dragon attacked him or turned towards the village, young Leothric smote him again. So all day long, Leothric drove the dragon with a stick further and further from his prey, with his heart tolling angrily and his voice crying out in pain. Towards evening, the metal dragon ceased to snap at Leothric, but ran before him to avoid the stick, for his nose was sore and shining. But as his hunger grew, he grew more bold. All that night he attacked Leothric fiercely, and oft-times nearly caught him in the darkness, for his gleaming eyes of steel could see as well by night as by day. And Leothric gave ground slowly till the dawn. And when the light came, they were near the village again. Then Leothric drove him again with his stick. At last, the pain of the stick on his leaden nose overcame the hunger of the dragon, and he turned from it howling. From that moment, the dragon Taragalfrog weakened. All that day, young Leothric drove him with his stick, and at night both held their ground. And when the dawn of the third day was come, the heart of the dragon beat slower and fainter, and he lay still for a long while. Then the sun set and flamed, and the dragon Taragalfrog lifted up his head and starved, and his life went from his invulnerable body, and Leothric lay down beside him and slept. Thank you. Then later, in the starlight, the villagers came out and carried Leothric sleeping to the village, all praising him in whispers as they went. And the next day, rejoicing to Leothric's home village of Alatherion, they hauled the dragon's body. And Leothric went with them, holding his battered staff. And a tall, broad man, who was smith of Alatherion, made a great furnace and melted the dragon Tharagavverug away, till only the blade of the sword Sacnoth was left, gleaming amongst the ashes. Then he took one of the dragon's small eyes and filed an edge on the sword Sacnoth. But the other eye they set in the butt of the hilt of the sword, and it gleamed there bluely. And that night Leothric arose in the dark and took the sword and went westward to find Lord Gaznak, master of nightmares. And he went through the dark forest till the dawn and all the morning until the afternoon. But in the afternoon he came into the open and saw in the midst of the land where no man goeth the Fortress of Doom. Mountainous before him, little more than a mile away. Then Leothric advanced into the marshes, and the disembodied eye of the dragon Tharagavverug looked out warily from the hilt of the sword Sacnoth. For in life, the dragon had known the marshes well, and the sword nudged Leothric to the right, or pulled him to the left away from the dangerous places, and so brought him safely to the fortress walls. And in the wall stood doors like precipices of steel, all studded with iron, and above every window were terrible gargoyles of stone. And words shone on the wall, writ large in letters of brass. The fortress unvanquishable, save for Sacnoth. Then Leothric drew and revealed the sword Sacnoth, and all the gargoyles grinned. Then Leothric advanced towards the mighty door of steel and smote upon it with a sword Sacnoth, and the echo of his blows went ringing through the halls. And all the dragons in the fortress barked. And Leothric went on smiting terribly with the sword Sacnoth, and the great steel of the door, that was tempered to resist nearly all the swords in the world, came away in ringing slices. Then Leothric, holding the sword Zaknoth in his hand, went in through the hole that he had cut in the door, and came into a shadowy cavernous hall. Presently, the shadows of the distant halls became musical, with the sound of bells, all coming nearer and nearer. Still, Leothric waited, and the bells rang louder and louder, echoing through the halls, and there appeared a procession of men on camels, riding two by two from the interior of the fortress. And they were armed and were all clad with mail, and chainmail hung from their helmets about their faces and flapped as the camels moved. And they all halted before Leothric in the cavernous hall, and the camel bells clanged and stopped. And the leader told Leothric that Lord Gaznak the sorcerer had desired to see him die. So Leothric must therefore come with them. And young Leothric answered that he would gladly go with the camel guard of the fortress, for he had come to slay Gaznak the Terrible, Lord of the Fortress of Doom. Then all the camel guard laughed hideously, disturbing the vampires that were asleep in the measureless vault of the roof. And the leader said that Lord Gaznak the sorcerer was immortal, save for the sword Zaknoth, and moreover wore armor that was proof even against the sword Zaknoth itself, and bore a sword the second most terrible in the world. And then young Leothric said that he was the bearer of the sword, Zaknoth. And he advanced towards the camel guard, and the sword Zaknoth lifted up and down in his hand as though stirred by an exultant spirit. Then the camel guard fled, and the riders leaned forward and smote their camels with their whips. They went away with a great clamor of bells through colonnades and corridors and vaulted halls, and scattered into the inner darknesses of the fortress. When the last sound of them had died away, young Leothric advanced to a great stairway in the midst of the hall. The stairway led up to two folding doors, and they stood a little ajar. And through the crack, young Leothric entered and tried to continue straight on, but could get no further, for the whole room seemed to be full of ropes, which swung from wall to wall and were looped and draped from the ceiling. The whole chamber was thick and black with them. They were soft and light to the touch, like fine silk. But Leothric was unable to break any one of them. And though they swung away from him as he pressed forward, yet by the time he had gone 3 yards, they were all about him, like a heavy cloak. Then Leothric stepped back and drew the sword Zaknoth, which divided the ropes without a sound. And without a sound, the severed pieces fell to the floor. Leothric went forward slowly, moving the sword Sacnoth in front of him up and down as he went. When he had come into the middle of the chamber, suddenly, as he parted with the sword Sacnoth a great hammock of strands, he saw a spider before him that was larger than a ram. And the spider looked at him with eyes that were little, but in which there was much wickedness, and asked Leothric, what manner of man was he that would spoil the labor of years all done to the honor of evil?